Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living. I'm here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. So welcome to this wonderful center. Know with me this truth, that there is one power, one light, one life, and it is flowing easily and freely in, as, and through each of us. So as we come to our focus today, as we bring our hearts and minds into accord with one thought, one idea, one place, we do so in the recognition that that oneness is all there is anyway. So I bring my attention to here, to now, to this moment. I take a deep breath and recognize my own thoughts, feelings, that which is going on within me. And I open myself to new ideas, to new ways of living, to new directions as I move forward into this day. I do this with ease and grace. I let it be, and so it is. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking your time and energy to be part of this wonderful center and this wonderful experience that we have each week together. We are a center that honors all people from all walks of life. We honor all paths to spirit and to God. We also are a place where whoever you are, we believe that you are to be honored and recognized, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your race, regardless of any other external ways in which we define or clarify who we are. Underneath and behind it all, we are expressions of the divine. Therefore, we are only to be recognized and only to be seen and honored and respected. So welcome. We're glad you're here. We trust that you will find something in this next hour that will be useful to you in your growth and in your self-understanding and in your finding and continuing to have your wonderful place in the world. Each week, we read our Declaration of Principles because this is really our guiding these are our guiding principles for this center and how we operate and the choices we make. So I invite you, if you would like to read along, as I read it aloud. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And as you contemplate that, I apologize, Vance. I think I skipped right over your first song. Is it possible to get back to that now and play it as we contemplate what we believe?
Everything beneath the sun breathes like a harmonium. Pure perfection has begun, shining like a midnight sun. Out of darkness I have come, I see God in everyone. Let me be an instrument, guided by an heaven sent. May these grapes of pain ferment, alchemized to love's content, ever be a sacrament, knowing God is my intent. God, let me know your name, hold me in the same
astound me with your grace.
I see God in everyone. While I can't see all of you, I still see it and know it, as I trust you know that to be true for everyone you're in touch with. So we now come to a part of our service that I find to be really meaningful and powerful and important. And I'm happy to introduce our guest practitioner today. She comes to us from sunny Florida. She is one of the women of wisdom, I would say, in our teaching. She brings forward great ideas, great clarity, and great foundation and grounding in the truth. And she knows how to do that and guide that for other people as well as for herself. So I'm very thrilled to introduce to you today our visiting practitioner, Norma Roberts.
Well, thank you so very much, Reverend Bob. I really appreciate being here. But I want you to know, as I prepare for this message today, uppermost in my mind was the seeming disconnect that many are experiencing today. Knowing that life is consciousness, I felt the need to look deeper for the unseen good that I know is there. In this month's magazine, Deborah Sandella gave her method for dealing with discordant ideas and thoughts during this unprecedented season. She says, if I become overloaded with dire information, I lose my ability to stay centered. So I temper my desire to stay informed and limit my intake of news. I recognize that the game, ain't it awful, is both contagious and addictive. When unsure about my next step, she says, I ask myself, what is mine to do in this situation? And I get to develop my intuition as I tune into inner guidance. Looking for the silver lining is a useful tool in building resilience. I ask myself, what have I learned? How have I grown? What would I never do again? And what unique experiences have I had as a result of this time of pandemic? I have learned to look for joy in the small things. I have developed more compassion and found forgiveness for myself and others. And in doing so, practice letting go of judgment, criticism, and expectations. The gift of this pandemic is to see others as the divine being that they are. To look at the world through the eyes of spirit. And I would like to add to this, that we know that love begets love. Hate begets hate, and love is always triumphant over hate. So I invite everybody to just get comfortable right now and take a deep breath and join me in treatment. Close your eyes, if you like, and just accept as much of this treatment as you can for yourself as I speak in the first person. There is but one life. That life is God. And that life is truly my life right here and right now. I am in the present moment and fully focused on the power of the omnipotent life force from which I am created and from which I am evolving. This day, I choose my thoughts. Knowing my divine nature is to express life beautifully. I allow God to guide me, sustain and maintain me in absolute love, joy, and peace. I know that all of my experiences, whether judged good or bad, are important parts of my journey. If I accept the premise that all is God and God is perfect, it stands to reason that what has transpired is also perfect, though it appears to be not to be so. Through the intelligence of God operating as my innermost wisdom, I forgive and release every person, situation, condition, or experience of my past that seemed to have caused me pain. I know that love can build a bridge as I take a new perspective. I look for good. I know that each instance has served its purpose, but it can only bring me to a new and greater experience of my destiny because God is good and God is all there is. I also release all worry, doubt, or fear of what my future may bring. I give myself permission to be completely and wholly in this present time and space so I may experience the totality of the healing love of God. In my most difficult times, I recognize that spirit is at work and I am enveloped in the arms of that which only has love for me. As I repeat in my mind, there is nothing but good here and I ought to have it, no matter what it looks like. Constantly in the flow of infinite intelligence, I focus on the good that I desire. The good that I claim is already mine by right of consciousness and is now ready to present itself in my life as my new experience. I invite, permit, and direct power within me to flow forth into expression as supreme health, exquisite, loving, lasting, and joyous relationships, overflowing financial abundance, and joyous creative self-expression. My heart is filled with joy and thanksgiving as I release my word and witness the perfect outworking of the law of mine to bring great blessings into my life. I let go. I let God be God. I know it is so. And so it is.
And so it is. Now we have some more music. Thank you, Norma.
You're welcome.
Wow.
As long as you can pray, you are never helpless. As long as you can pray, you are never alone. It only takes a moment to turn a life around and point it home. Reaching in to find compassion, reaching out to lend a hand, reaching in to pray for guidance, reaching out to take a stand. It only takes a moment to turn a life around and point it home. There's always someone here can share your burdens. There's always someone here you can share your victories. Angels for each other, friends along the way to unity. Reaching in to touch the silence, reaching out to light the way. Reaching in to find a guidance, reaching out to be the change. Angels for each other, friends along the way. There are people everywhere reaching out for prayer. We'll be angels, angels for each other.
Reaching in, reaching out. That's beautiful. So this is the last Sunday in October. So we are up to our final in the series on cosmic connections. Last week, Cynthia knocked it out of the park with a wonderful talk about bridges and with connecting and how forgiveness and all of that is part of our important bridge living. And the talk title today is Bridges That Last. So I immediately thought about lately all of the floods across China and Europe and some in this country, but nothing to match what's going on in other parts of the world. And the videos I've seen on the news and other places of bridges washing out. And I also let my mind go to, when I think of bridges at last, go to this, I used to go to the base of the big bridge in Philadelphia that crosses the Delaware River. It's a monster. And the foundation of where it attaches on the Pennsylvania side of things is larger than many, many, many buildings. And it's solid and it's masonry. And boy, it is built to last. So I think of those bridges that last. But then I also think of some other bridges that may not last so well. Like I got a real shock this morning. The bridge to all of you looked like it was down. My computer went to blue screen and wouldn't talk to me. And I took a couple of tries of opening and reopening. And I thought, wow, you know, we're talking about bridges at last. And here's a bridge that is going to last as long as the internet does and as long as my computer does. And thank goodness I have a cell phone, because I knew I could make that bridge work if this one didn't. It all worked out and it came through and gave me something to talk about. So that was a good thing. But the awareness is, for me, as I thought about this and this whole topic, when I thought of all different kinds of bridges, you know, we build bridges of community, we build bridges with one another of compassion and love and relationships. I have some relationships that I have bridged with people that go back to my childhood that are still alive and well and strong. And some of them I never see or talk to, and except occasionally at reunions or such as that, but those bridges are going to be there no matter what. If I ever needed anything or they ever needed anything, I would be there for them. And yet, it's not the physical bridge between me and they that is really, or me and them, that's really important. It is what's underneath and behind that. As Norma said in her treatment, let's look deeper. Let's go to a deeper place. So, what is a bridge to begin with? A bridge is the idea of something that connects two separate things. The bridge in Philadelphia is between Pennsylvania and New Jersey. There are bridges that have been built in our cities at times between communities where they were not always welcome, because weren't sure we wanted to connect with those communities. Because the idea was it was this connecting with that and this connecting with that. There were two separate things. But what we know in this teaching, and this is kind of the focal point of my talk today, what we know in this teaching is that there is no separation. There's no such thing in deeper truth and reality of separation. There are lots of appearances of separation. We all look different. We all look different. We're at different ages. We have lots of differences, and we appear to be separate, men, women. What is that whole thing in that old book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus? But we're all from the universe. I never liked that book because of that kind of assumption that we were really from different places. There is no separation. Underneath and behind it all, we all share the same DNA for 99.9% of what's in our bodies that creates it. How we are and what our potential is to become. And beyond that, we know that there's a oneness at work here that is underneath and behind it all. So separation is just an illusion or an appearance. It is that deeper oneness that we all come from the same place, that we all are created out of the same idea without ever leaving it, that one power, that one universe, that one something. If we weren't, we couldn't even understand each other or hear each other or recognize each other. It is that unity that allows us to even see one another. So rather than thinking of bridges as between this and that, I think of bridge as being bridges that last, as being the bridges that we have within us that allow us to connect with what is real, to connect with what is there, to cross that appearance of separation, that appearance that something is going on that is somehow separate from our good. we live in a world of duality. We live in a world where there appear to be very definite differences. There's the yin and the yang. There's the light and darkness. There's good and evil. There's right and wrong. There's victim, perpetrator. All of those appearances would lead us to think, if we only looked at one level of appearance, that there are two different things at work in life. But what we know is that light and dark is simply really a measure of light. And what we call dark is simply a lower presence of light. Cold and hot are not two different powers or two different forces in the universe. It's one force, it's heat. And the degree of the presence or absence of that heat. And any of you who have roommates or have lived with people who have very different needs when it comes to heat, hot and cold, know exactly how important that difference is. But it really isn't two different things. It's one thing. It's heat. And how much or how little it would work for you. How much or how little you need to feel comfortable and to be. It's only in our naming of it and in our seeing it through a certain perspective that we call it two different things. I grew up in a family with a number of police folk in it. We also had a number of bootleggers. And anyone that doesn't know what a bootlegger is, you can text me later. But it was fascinating to me, and it is fascinating when I look back at it. My uncle, the county sheriff, used to say, you know, the only difference between us and them is we got the keys. But there was the same kind of warring faction within them, and sometimes the same kinds of anger and frustration and whatever. But the difference was one group had the keys, the other didn't. Now, does that make one good and one bad? In much of our conscious world, we would say that. In much of our world of appearance, we would say, yeah, those are the good guys and those are the bad guys. There's only guys and girls. And that good and bad flows across both sides of the key. And when we look deeper, we recognize we're all people trying to find our way in the world and try to understand how to love and be loved, how to be safe, how to be protected, how to do the things we want to do, to be able to trust the world we live in. It's all just one. And there are bridges within us to get to that place. Another great example of how what may appear to be bad turns into good is there's a grand old story of the water carrier who carried water in two pots on his shoulder. He had a bar across and he carried water from the well up to the village. And one of the pots had a crack in it, which he didn't notice. So day after day, he carted the water up. And he did notice that the pot on one side would kind of leak as the day would go on, as the walk would go on. And he just kept going with it. And finally, later, at some point, he became very sad and apologetic. And he was apologizing to the tribal leader that he had done a poor job because one of the pots was cracked and he never quite got two full pots of water up to the village at the same time. And there was a lot of sadness and guilt and shame. And the tribal leader said, but look, take a look at the path. And as he walked up the path every day, he was watering the plants on one side. And it turns out the village women in their wisdom had gone along and planted some seeds on that side of the path, so that he had watered and grown beautiful flowers and vegetables and who knows what else on that side of the path where the pot was leaking. So we'd often think of our leaky pots as being something terrible, whereas so often, if we look at a deeper perspective, at a place of oneness, at a place where there's unity, where all good is going to come through no matter what, those leaky pots turn out to be rich resources of good. I love that Norma said what she did about the value, the gift of this pandemic. Now, yes, it's been hard and difficult for many people. It has been hard and horrible, and I'm not suggesting anyone going through illness or pain is a good thing. But the overall effect of the pandemic has been to awaken us to so many important things about being human. It's awakened us to slow down and stop and take a look at what matters, and where, not only for each of us individually, but for our neighbors and our friends and others. The people in my cul-de-sac here in this apartment complex now know each other. We didn't before. Our kids play with each other. Our grandkids play with each other from a distance, and usually with masks and water pistols. But, you know, it has given us the opportunity to be together in a way that we would not have done had it not been for this. So there's a real, I mean, maybe we'd found another way, but this way has definitely brought forward the good that is here for us as people and as human beings. It's a bridge. It's a bridge to greater good. Everything is a bridge to greater good. Everything that happens to you does not happen as an accident. It happens for the purpose of bringing greater good to you according to your idea of greater good, to your idea of greater life. So, we talk in this teaching about creating a world that works for everyone. That's kind of been the theme of our organization. And those of us who are somewhat purist about this teaching are quick to say, but we already live in a world that works for everyone. It works for everyone according to the belief that they have about who they are and what should be. So we live in a world that believes in illness, so we have it. We live in a world that believes in haves and have-nots, and so we experience it. So the world is working. But what we really mean by that, and what we meant by that when we created this vision, was a world that works for everyone according to their best idea of their highest good. And that one we're still on the way to. That one we are still unfolding and bringing forward. That one we're not done with by any means. My highest and greatest good and my idea of it, and your highest and greatest good and your idea of it, does not contradict itself. Does not mean that somebody wins and somebody loses. It means that there's a way in which we all can find and live and experience our highest and greatest good. Because there's no way that my good can take away from yours. If it appears to, then it's probably not my good. It's probably something else. If my winning means you're losing, then I'm not winning. Because in a world of oneness, in a world of unity, there's only winning for everyone. There's only growth and purpose and moving forward for everyone. Unity is the powerful underpinning of everything we are and everything we have been and can be. It's a beautiful recognition that when we look into quantum physics, you know, quantum physics tells us we are so connected that just the act of you looking at something changes the nature of the thing you're looking at. Now that's, you know, it's not quite like X-ray vision in the movies, but it's kind of close. Or Superman with his vision powers to melt things. Hopefully my looking at something doesn't melt it. In fact, it doesn't. But when I see it and I recognize its beauty and I recognize your goodness and your beauty, it changes who you are. And when you see me and recognize my goodness and my beauty, it changes who I am. Whether we're looking at a chair or a person, our vision of seeing and our opinions about that make a physiological difference in the nature of that thing, that being, that whatever. It's pretty amazing. You've all heard the stories about the quantum physics experiments that were done in Palo Alto with this particle accelerator where they had, and if you've ever driven down I-5, you've driven over the top of it, you may have seen it. It's a long building. It's about 5 miles long, and part of it runs under the expressway there. But when they were setting up their experiments there, they had to stop hiring people who knew anything about the experiment. Because everything kept showing up with the results that they expected. when they looked for particles to show up, that's where they what they saw. When they looked for and expected waves to show up, the waves showed up. We live in a world that is all energy, that is nothing about it that's solid, even though it appears to be. There's an underlying unity. So waves and particles show up according to what we are looking for from them. And I know that's sort of heady stuff. What difference does it make? Well, here are some bridges that do make a difference. Bridges that last are bridges that connect us with that inner, deeper truth. One of the great bridges is our breath. Nobody can take that away from you. It's always there. As long as you're on the planet in this form, you're going to have it. Try to hold it and stop it, and you can't do it. But there's a practice in mindfulness called stop. Stop whatever you're doing in the moment. When you find yourself in that place where you feel like you're in that place of separation, where who you are and what you are is so separate and broken apart, and it's not connecting, or you're not connected, or you're alone, whatever that message may be going on in your head. You know, the Bible says that God gave us the power back in the very beginning, according to the ancient Jewish idea. Actually, it's even pre-Jewish, that we had the power to name things, and what we name them is what they become. Sounds a lot like what we do in science of mind. What you call it's what it becomes. So when we see separation and division, and we see ourselves as pulled apart or not part of something, stop. Whatever you're doing is the S, T. Take a deep, deep breath all the way down to your toes. Feel your body relax. And then just observe what you're feeling. Observe what you're thinking. Observe. And then P, proceed on. Go right back to wherever you were and what you're doing. And I promise you, if you practice that on a regular basis, that truth that is within you, that power that is within you, that compels your life will begin to bubble up out of that inner self that begins to show up in those observations and will suddenly begin to transform that idea. Another great bridge is your mental and intellectual thinking. We teach a thing called spiritual mind treatment because our prayer is affirmative prayer, but it is a prayer which transforms us. God's just fine. God's been doing what God's been doing for a long time. But our spiritual mind treatment is something where we come into alignment with the power and energy and movement of that one. We're always in it, but we may not always be as aware of that as we could be. So what we do is we use spiritual mind treatment, which is to first of all simply state there is only one. You know, and if you keep saying something to yourself long enough, you begin to see it all around you and believe it. You ever decide you want to buy a red car, like a red Lexus? And the next thing you know, every time you go out, you see red Lexus, or are they Lexi? You see them again and again and again, everywhere you go. And you thought, I never noticed these things before. Everybody's got the car I wanted. And then you decide whether to continue to want that or something else. See, as soon as we start thinking about something ourselves, it starts showing up in our lives. So as soon as we bridge that idea into there is only one power and it is for good and it is for my good, we begin to see that and experience it. That's pretty awesome. You live in a universe that responds to you according to what you say and believe and continue to believe. Over and over and over. So our bridge is only a bridge into what already is. There are other great bridges that are absolutely forever and last are the bridges of honesty, the bridges of integrity, bridges of love, bridges of telling the truth. Nothing will clean up a relationship faster and better than that. It might hurt a little bit to start with, especially if what we've been doing is presenting a false kind of idea of ourselves based on fear of what the other person will think. But if you want to break that whole bridge down, just tell them the truth. Then you'll find out, is this a real relationship or not? And I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, whatever is unreal will disappear and the real will show up and bubble right up to the surface. Bridges at last. So how do you use a bridge? You cross it. You know, I can stand and look at a bridge all day and think, wow, I've done that a few times. Used to be an old bridge in Savannah going across the Savannah River, and it was 2 lanes, and it was big steel with wood slats that the vehicles went across. And I sat at the bottom of that bridge for a while before I felt safe enough and strong enough to drive across it, simply because I didn't like heights and I sure didn't like a narrow bridge that I had to squeeze past trucks in. I kind of got cured of that later because I went across that bridge with my dad and his big, you know, semi-truck. And that just kind of I kind of got over all that right then. But you know what I mean? You have a bridge, you see what you want on the other side, and you think, how can I get there? How can I get to that? Well, you got to choose to cross the bridge, but it's not the outside bridge you got to find. It's not the wooden bridge, the ones made of steel. It's the inner bridge, the bridge that simply connects you to the truth of who you are. That bridge of gratitude, that's one of the most powerful bridges. One of the most powerful bridges to take you to where you want to be is gratitude. When I was in Peru, we crossed a few bridges on foot that were swinging bridges over ravines with nothing below us but daylight and a lot of daylight between the slats and the wooden thing holding us up. I did a lot of gratitude for every one of those pieces of wood I stepped on that held me. Gratitude all the way across. And then when I got on the other side, I was so grateful for the exhilarating feeling of taking the risk of crossing that bridge. And trusting that it was safe and I was safe. Recognition is another bridge to help you get across to where you want to be. Recognition within you that you are the divine. Ernest, we say in our Declaration of Principle, we don't do this part on Sundays, but it says this: we believe in the unity of all life. We do part of this. And that the highest God and the innermost God is the one God. We believe that God is personal to all who feel this indwelling presence. Now, it is present for all of us, but it becomes personal for us when we feel it. When we recognize it, that recognition provides a bridge to all kinds of possibilities that we may not have thought of or seen. You know, and sometimes it's simply a matter of making a demand upon ourselves. When something shows up that is like, what? Like COVID, like other things going on in the world. We make a demand on that goodness within us to say, I demand to see the good in this. Helen Street used to stomp her foot. I demand to see the good in this. And then wait, because it'll show up for you. You're putting a demand not on something out there, but on your own wisdom and truth, because you, the God that is the God is the God within you. I demand to see the unity in this. I demand to see the oneness. I demand to see the love. I demand to see the kindness, because once you see it, it's real and it starts to happen and it shows up. So I would leave you with this idea that these bridges that we build, these bridges are already there. We don't build them. What we do is come to recognize them, we find them. They're already there. They're operating all the time, bridging between our appearance on the outside and what's really truthful for us on the inside, the bridge between what we believe and how what shows up in our lives. That's very real and always there. So what we get to do, not need to do, but get to do, is simply uncover them, simply look for them and demand that they reveal themselves to us, because the God, because when we make that demand, we are speaking as the infinite within us. And so I would leave you with just this, with this thought. For it is my wish in this world, in this idea of creating a world that works for everyone. It is a prayer of kindness. May all beings, all of us included, be peaceful. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings awaken to the light of our true nature. And finally, and no less importantly, may all beings be free. And so it is. So I invite you to join me, if you will, in a few moments of meditation and treatment. As we go within, as we turn away from the noisiness of the world around us, as we turn away from what appears to be bridges into the real bridge, which is our own consciousness, which is the bridge between infinite and finite, which is the bridge between absolute and particular, which is the bridge between God and us, because the God on the outside is the God within. And so in this place, I take a deep breath. I let it go. And I ask myself, what am I thinking? No judgments. Just noticing. Take a breath in and a breath out. And I allow myself to feel the presence of my body and my presence within my body. And I ask myself, what am I feeling? What is my heart saying? And I recognize that this oneness, this unity, this all that there is, dwells within me and I am within it in a way that is inseparable. It needs no bridge, it just needs my attention. And so I give it my attention right now, my attention to the all good that I am, that all good that I live within. And if there's an area of my life where there seems to be something not showing up as all good, then I address that part of me by recognizing that there is a goodness in that for me. And I embrace and welcome and open to it. And the good of God is flowing into that aspect of my life. It is flowing into expanded prosperity. It is flowing into the opportunity to give my gifts in a way that are loved and appreciated by the world. We call that work. I am open to the goodness of God flowing into all of my relationships where they turn out to be truthful and good and powerful and real. For love is love is love. And I see the goodness of God flowing into and awakening what's already within me in my physical self, so that every system in my body functions perfectly as it was designed to do and is still, that design is still present in every cell and every part of me. And as I open to the awareness that God's goodness is there and is now expanding, I recognize that that structure is awakening and taking over. I am possessed with the goodness that God is. And so I enjoy this. I enjoy this feeling, this knowing. And I welcome the goodness that is here. I travel the bridge of gratitude. Gratitude for life working this way. Gratitude to God for being God. Gratitude to me for having the good sense to pay attention. Gratitude to all of those who've contributed to my good and bringing me to this point. And in this gratitude, I now release. Take another deep breath and I proceed into my day, knowing this is done. This is complete. This is now part of life. I let it be. And I let it be so. And so it is. Big breath, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. And now I think we're going to hear from our wonderful board member and technician par excellence, who puts up with all of my struggling with technology and does it beautifully and kindly and with great elegance. I give you Vance Blue.
Thanks, Bob. That was a wonderful talk this morning. Connecting bridges, inner bridges, outer bridges. I remember those rickety wooden bridges too. old back roads with all kinds of bridges. So that was a good reminder of that, of what we have in our life. And bridge the prosperity that comes in and goes out, that we bring into our life, right, that we have this flow with. And so with that, I'm going to share the screen. Go into here, our affirmation of prosperity. Next page. So read this with me. We'll go on. I live in a universe of abundance as I freely and joyfully give. I join in the divine
flow.
And all that I share with life returns to me.
Abundantly. And so it is.
So you have multiple ways to donate. Donate online. You could send a check in. Reverend Cynthia put in on the chat the mailing address for that. And easy way, you can PayPal on the website, and you can do using the Realm system, which is really easy to get set up. It's what I use for my regular donations. And if you want one-time additional donations, you can use it for that as well. And we've got some announcements for next week. Next week, new month, November. The theme for the month is living as passionate conduits. And I did not update the talk title. that's not the talk title. That's this week's talk title. So come back, see what that is. I will look at that. But next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. And on those Sundays, we bring up what is happening. So there's a Q&A coffee right after the service. We'll do that. Celebrate birthdays for the month, all of that fun stuff. So as you come, if you're staying on Facebook, you can join us on Zoom for that afterwards, and that would be great. The other reminder is the time is changing next week, so pay attention to that. We go an hour back, fall back, an hour back. So if you show up and you haven't changed your clock, we will be just ending the service. So reminder for that. we want you all here. So on Tuesdays, Reverend Bob does a spiritual empowerment session, Tuesdays at noon, 12 to 12:30, same Zoom ID you've got on here. And that's a great midweek uplift. If you've got anything going on that you want some additional help with, you can do that. Share. If you are watching on Facebook, share it. If you're watching on Zoom, go to your Facebook, share the Facebook broadcast to your platform, to your personal timeline, so that other people know about us. And that expands our work and can bring other people here on Sunday to hear this great, great message that we get every week. Sunday mornings, we have a Sunday morning discussion group, starts at 10 a.m., led by one of our practitioners, Maya Fuller. And we're going through the Science of Mind textbook, which is a great book, but every week, every day, there's a reading for each day. And throughout 365 days, you get through the entire book, skipping back and forth in different sections, but it's an awesome experience to go through and get a good foundation on what is the Science of Mind. And if you've got anything going on in your life, we have amazing practitioners and they are available to help. You can fill out the online prayer request on cslmidtown.org/treatment-prayer-request. It's on my other screen. And they would be glad to help you work with anything you've got going on. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Reverend Bob.
Thank you. Our talk next week is the your divine power to choose. So we'll be talking about choices. This month was all about cosmic connections. And so we're going to put those connections to use next month as we start talking about how do we choose and what do we choose. And yeah, it's a good thing. It's right up there with deciding. So thank you, Vance. I want to thank you and all of the rest of our board for the wonderful support that you provide to all of us and to me as the minister here. So thank you. We've got some of you online, Vance and Karen. And of course, as soon as I start naming, I'm going to miss somebody. So if you're on the board, wave at me or wave at the group so we can recognize and honor you as well. There you are, Karen. Thank you. And Cynthia, there you are. Cool. Looks like, I don't know if the others are with us today. They're not. I know that a couple of the board members are always on Facebook, so they're always watching on the live feed there and providing, you know, helping to spread the word out beyond that. You may not be aware, we really impact a lot of people every week through Facebook, through podcasts, and through YouTube. So if you miss us on a Sunday, be sure and check out those different places because this will always be there and be available for you as well. So join me, if you will, in our closing. You will find it on the screen, or if you happen to have one of these old programs that we still have, it'll be right there for you as well. So I will read it. Feel free to read along and join me in the reading. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.
It is.
And so it is. Thank you very much. We'll see you all next week.